session number 18827, Reel 3.
Bill Pinniger, Reel 3. You were just telling me about what your landing was like, please.
Oh, we got on. We got on the London craft, and we were static for quite a long time. I can't remember how long. It could be half a day. It could be a day. But we were getting a little bit fed up because we were crowded on there, and we got over on the beaches. And then all of a sudden, get ready to deboat. We're here. There was lots of gunfire there and lots of other things there. And the beach we landed on was very, very steep and full of pebbles. And my battalion that I had, we had the company which I belonged to, all had bicycles as well as machine guns and fully laden with equipment. Not a good swimmer. I should never know how I got to the shore, but I did. And we got to the shore, and a lot of my comrades around me was obviously being shot down, and mined and one thing and another. And we were on this gold beach, which was a gap in, which on the right and the left of us had already had the first troops of invasion over. I think we were the second wave, but the first wave on the beaches that we actually landed. And we got ashore there, and our instructions were to get on our bikes as soon as possible and rendezvous to a wood. So, not a wood, an orchard. To rendezvous in an orchard. That is where we had to rendezvous to get pieces together, get the platoons together, and get moving. Well, we got to the orchard all right, minus a lot of men that was wounded and one thing and another. And we got there, and there happened to be a German tank unit there. And they were on an exercise, but I don't think, really, they were filled up with ammunition because they were taken by surprise. But we got there. Unfortunately, we only had the biggest weapon we had was a Piat gun. There's no heavy artillery or nothing there like that then. No vehicles, no tanks. All as we had was infantrymen. And we got there, and fortunately, we happened to put out one tank. I don't know who done it, but one of our boys in the unit done it. Put some trackmen and blew the tracks off a tank there, which jammed up one of the exits for the tanks to get out, so the tanks wouldn't come out. And they were going round and round trying to get out of this wood, and we were riding on these tanks, waiting for them to open the hatches so we could drop phosphorus or 36 hand grenades in. Anyway, we come through that, and then we had a lot of scrapping then being done, like as infantry soldiers do, like advancing and one thing and another. And it was coming along. We lost a lot of men. We lost our platoon sergeant. We lost our platoon corporal. At that time, I was one of the senior soldiers, and I took over the platoon there. And we went all the way through, and we got just as far as Bayeux. In the history books, it says that Bayeux was taken on D+1, but my platoon and my section was in Bayeux Cathedral at 7 minutes to midnight on D-Day. That is history, because that is true. We were in there on the night of D-Day, and the cathedral wasn't damaged hardly at all. And if anyone goes into the Bayeux Cathedral, they will see on there the regimental badge of the three battalions that was in the brigade there that took Bayeux.
How were the sergeant and the corporal lost? Can you describe it?
They were just shot down in advance in patrols. You can't really say whether it was machine gun or whether they were shot in with rifle fire. It was extended arch, and we were just going forward where we could. You can't really say how they were killed. They could have been killed by grenades, they could have been killed with rifle fire, stand gun fire, or Smyser fire rather, German Smyser fire, they could have been done with that, or they could have been done with Spandau machine gun fire. You can't say, because we were advancing, and we were really up against a very, very strong German unit at the time. Yeah, we were up against, at that particular time, we were up against a panzer column. And that panzer column that we were up against on the landings at that particular day is the same people that we fought just before the war ended in Holland. It was the same panzer unit.
When you landed on the beach, was it what you expected?
Well, I don't think we were really expected as such, because when we rendezvoused into the orchard we had to rendezvous in, they seemed to be unprepared. But prior to our landings on that day, all our air force went in and bombed and blowed everything out they could off the beaches as much as they could. They were just to demoralise the German troops to give us more courage to get through. But a lot of things that were standing was pillboxes and one thing and another. And we were fortunate to have with us, not many, but enough to get through. We had individual men carrying flamethrowers that could put on the pillboxes and get them out, otherwise we wouldn't have got through at all.
And when you went into Bayeux, did you see French civilians?
Yes, we saw French civilians, but we didn't have time, because our instruction was not to hang about and talk or nothing and just go through. This was the order of the day, so we didn't have a lot to do with them. Those were wonderful people, and they used to run out. They used to run out to us and bring us glasses of wine and glasses of stuff as we were going along. And we still had our bicycles with us then, so we couldn't sort of hang about. We were cycling to the next objective. It states on that paper you've got there, got rid of our bikes, I think. So many days after.
So, you told me you were at the cathedral. What happened then?
I can't quite remember, but whether it was there or whether it was the next day, I think we went into to the church. I don't know if it was at the cathedral or whether it was another church, but we was told we could have an hour's rest. Or a half hour's rest. Get down, and we slept in the pews there. Then we went along then to another church outside of that there, and the German snipers was there in the belfry of another church, and we'd been sniped at left, right and centre going down the road. We lost one or two men, and then we realised where the shots were coming from. And when we got down there, we found out that this wasn't German soldiers sniping at us. It was French collaborators using German machine guns, no doubt lovers of German people, and they were sniping us off. And we went there to up there, and we cleared that church out and got these snipers out and found that they were ladies. Women. Women snipers, it was.
Did you see them?
Yes.
How many of them were there?
Three or four. But we got rid of them. I don't know what happened to them, obviously. We didn't hang about. I was a soldier. I had to keep going. And if we had these people, okay, they were disarmed and they were sent back down that way where somebody would pick them up.
So the snipers were in Bayeux?
Yeah. No, just outside of Bayeux. Well, we could put Bayeux, because that would be handy within 4 or 5 kilometres anyway.
Did the soldiers harm the snipers?
No, they were taken prisoners. They were taken prisoners.
Were the snipers in uniform or not?
No. No, they were just... They weren't in uniform. They were women. They were collaborators of the German army. That's what they were.
Were they captured with weapons in their hands?
Oh, yes.
What happened next?
Well, we went on there, I suppose. We was going on then to the Battle of Tilly. Battle of Tilly, Tanzors, I suppose, going along that way. Oh, Jerusalem we come to before then. Jerusalem, I think we come to before then. Could I have that in a conservative?
No, so it says, yes. Jerusalem on the 9th of June.
Yeah, well, anyway.
What happened at Jerusalem?
Well, Jerusalem was just like a little hamlet. And I don't know whether it's true or whether it is not. But they turned around and said, Jerusalem is not on our map. It was only like a small place at that particular time. And they reckoned that the story goes, this may not be true, but the story goes that Jerusalem was christened as Jerusalem by members of the English forces. The Gloucester Battalion was done as Jerusalem. And whether that is true or not, I don't know. But it was always it was christened by us as Jerusalem. Whether it was Jerusalem before or not, I don't know. But we had that. Anyway, I've gone to Jerusalem there, and as a matter of fact, we didn't have our padre with us on this particular day, and I took the service a few years ago at Jerusalem for remembrance service. I took the service.
What happened at Jerusalem to you in 1944? Was there any fighting there?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we had to clear the place out there. We had to tidy it all up. It was held very strongly, actually. We had to tidy it up there. And then, after we got through that lot, we go on to Tilly, St. Saul's, and a terrible battle. Our unit went into Tilly, I think, at least 12 or 14 times. After going in, being drove out, counterattacked, drove out, counterattacked. It was 14 or 15 times. I think Tilly altogether was more or less taken after about the 25th or 27th attack. It was a big attack. It's something about 27 attacks we had on Tilly. And when we left Tilly, there was nothing hardly any standing there. We finished up there with some of our tanks, buried right up to the turret of the tanks, so they wouldn't get damaged, buried right up to the turret of the tanks to fire the heavy stuff over. My unit at that time, our platoon commander was Lieutenant Evans, and he died in my arms, actually, Lieutenant Evans.
How did that happen?
Well, he was a very brave soldier, and we were advancing, and he was bringing us on, and we could see two half-tracks coming round from the village. And these two half-tracks was coming round the village there. We happened to see him, and he said to me, get the peat gunner, get the peat gunner. I said, the peat gunner's right at the rear, sir. Fetch him, he said. So I went back and I fetched the peat gun. And I come down, and a bloke named Corporal Rhodes, his name was. Corporal Rhodes. And I could hardly stand up. I ran on my belt, I would nearly collapse to come up with a peat gun. And I come down, I give him the peat gun, and Corporal Rhodes, he sat on the corner of the roads waiting for this half track to come round. He was no more than about 35 yards away from me for the peat gun put out of action. He shot a second peat shot, he had a second one as well. And unfortunately, he didn't injure all the soldiers, or German soldiers, in this second shot he had, but they opened up a 5mm cannon shell gun they had, and he went right through his leg, and never touched his bone, but knocked all the flesh out here, and a big gouge out his leg like that. And after that, we carried him away, we got him used to it, and I went back, I thought, I'll see where Evans is, I think he got hit, Lieutenant Evans. So with that, we carried on battling. I shouldn't have went back. I went back and I thought, well, I'll lay him down a bit comfortable. He wasn't unconscious, but just about conscious. I thought, I'll lay him down a little bit tidy. I got my arms round his shoulders and pulled him back, and the poor boy's stomach fell out on the floor. So that really died. He died in my arms, actually. So anyway, that was that. We go back after, then we find that Rhodes had been it with this cannon shell from this doings. He got moved out and was lucky going on battling, and another of these things come round, and it was very lucky for me, very, very lucky. Another stroke of my luck, there was a village pump. Right, there was two pumps in the village, Tillyson's Horse, and I seen this coming up, and I stood up sideways like that against the pump, and machine gun fire come all the way round me altogether. You could hear him going through the casing of this steel pump, and it's in the pump. The bullets came all round from that machine gun, each side of me, and I was still lucky. I still wearing a small haversack, and I went to dive through a wall there which had a hole in, and I couldn't release myself. I was wedged in a hole trying to get through the wall. And I can remember just unhitching myself and leaving my haversack behind and going on then, picking up my Bren gun, I go on farther on shooting. Anyway, we got drove out of Tillyson's Horse, and we were drove out, and the next day we give another counter-attack, the same company, and my haversack was still there. I thought, I'm not going to touch that one there in case he's bugged. I'm not going to touch him. So we put some wire around him and pulled him out. He was still all right, and I still had me bits and pieces with me back in, all that in. But anyway, there we are. Anyway, we went on from Tillyson's Horse, and after the Battle of Tillyson's Horse, that we come to, we had a rest then. I think it was about one of our first rest periods. We had a rest period then, and what have you, and we went on then towards Surly Harcourt, Pont de Mur or something, it's on that list, sir. We went there, but we went in really a little bit too far again, and this is where it was. We went on this fighting patrol, and it was terrible, really. There was only about 20 of us went in on this fighting patrol, and we were spread out like this, and we were battling, fighting hard. And my lance sergeant that was going in, he said to me, we always used to go on fighting patrols together. I used to do rear guard action, and he used to do leading. Next day we went out, it was vice versa. Look at the draw. And we used to go there. Anyway, some of us split off, deliberately split up, because I said to the CO, I said, it's dangerous to take too many men through there. So if we take 7 men through there, we'll get it. If you're going to take 20 men through there, somebody's going to be seen. Cut it down to a third, we'll get through. So he listened to me. So we took him through. And we got through there all right. And we took this machine gun post. And that was all right. We got that one. And then the Germans was coming up like this.
Hands up.
Yeah, they were coming up like this. And there was only 7 of us there to look after it. And Lance Sergeant West, he said, I'll collect them in, Bill. Give us some covered fire. Well, I had my Bren gun there, and I had 2 other men with me, rifle one. I said, we'll cover you up. So he goes on there, we was covering them up. The Germans were walking towards him like this, there, but 8 of them all together, and they were that clever, they had like manhole covers cut in the floor, all leveled off, they got as far as manhole covers, they all jumped in there together, left another 4 or 5 soldiers ready, standing up, lost, and a Spandau machine gun opened up, machine gun in front, shot them all down.
Shot who down?
All our blokes, all our lads that was going to bring the prisoners in. They shot them all down. And that was the end of my poor old mate Stanley West.
That was at Turry Harcourt?
That was in between Tillys and Swords and Surrey Harcourt. Just before Mount Pignon. Just before Mount Pignon. Anyway, we carry on then a little bit further, and our unit was lined up again to go further in front, and we were told to keep our heads down and get in as many ditches as possible, because there was a thrasher coming up, a bomb thrasher coming up through a cornfield to give us way through. And I can always remember a chappy name from the Gloucester Regiment, a chappy named Greenberg. We used to call him the London Borough Boy, because he was a Jew, and he was a good soldier. He was going on there, but Greenberg was that clever, he had to stick his head up over the trench to see the tank go by. And unfortunately, the tank passed by a landmine, or a tank trap, and he walked by there, and just as he swung the tank round, he hit him, and poor old Greenberg, he just took his face off. I can see it now. Just took his face off like that. And that was the end of Greenberg. Anyway, nobody could find him, his body, because after we advanced, a few minutes after that, the tank went through, we advanced. And when we got advanced, they had a direct hit to where we were staying by 88s and all that. They had all that, and there was hardly anybody left there but the dead ones, and they blew them all to pieces. And I tried for years to find Greenberg's grave, and it was only 3 years ago that we went out to Tillys and Soares graveyard to go to out there, and we seen Greenberg's grave right on the end, just replaced there. So they must have found his ID, his discs, and found him and reburied him. They must have found him. But if you go to Hot Tot and Tillys and Soares, you will find two or three big rows of my own company there. There's 23 out of the company in one row there alone. I'm going over again on the 6th for the 55th.
What rank did you have by then?
What rank did that?
What rank did you have?
I demoted my rank, and I went in as a private, and I came out of a private. I was promoted in, but I didn't want to know in the finish. I packed it all in through being bloody minded, to be honest.
Why were you bloody minded?
Well, because when I came out from be Dunkirk, ruddy issue, and one thing and another, and then I come up on the invasion days, I met my own brother at Colchester, and I was an NCO there, and I took my brother out, which was a private soldier, who'd only been in weeks, and I got pulled in with the ruddy redcaps, because associating with private soldiers, which you shouldn't do, and I didn't bother, so I said, well, that's the end of my ruddy NCO ship for you, that's it, I wouldn't bother again.
So, what happened after Greenberg was killed?
Well, after Greenberg was killed, on there we went on an advance fighting patrol from the same place on the same day, I think it was, or the next day. Same day. Yes, on the same day. We went on there, and we went on to Mount Pignon there. I went out with a fighting patrol there, and We went out, and we were really up against a lot of stuff. And they said to me, the machine gun post, I said, the machine gun post is there. He's not in the copse. He's this side of the copse, but he's camouflaged. He's there. I said, I know he's there, because we were on standing patrol here before. And I said, that is where that machine gun post is, because we are the making a machine gun post. And I said, that is where he is. So we got to go and sort that one out. So anyway, one thing brought on another. And a lot of the lads said, I said, listen, we got to get up to that machine gun post. We We got to get to that machine gun post. We got to sort him out before we do anything else. So I said, I want one of you to go this side the edge and the rest go up the other side the edge. So he said, right, nobody want to go. I said, I'll go the other side the edge. Good. But keep up with me. Keep me observed at all times. And don't let me go out of sight. Just follow me up. We get as near as possible. Well, I didn't realise that there would have been action there before, but it looked to me as if I passed a dead soldier on a bank. And it looked like American to me, but I never thought at the time, we had no Yanks on the air. So anyway, I went to get up and move a bit forward. I heard something rumble. And I heard something rumble, something move. So I dived. And as I dived, I was lucky because this dead one that was supposed to be opened up a Smyzer gun. He caught me in here.
In your back?
Just here, just for the spine. And it come out here.
Your right shoulder?
Yeah. Well, I was ever so lucky because I never pierced a lung and it never touched a bone. But it ripped this muscle out of here.
Out of your shoulder?
Yeah, it ripped this muscle out. And look on the upper forelegs, so I was not really sore there. But anyway, it caught me, there was a couple of bullets there. I was very, very lucky. And that was the end of my days in Normandy. Until I come out and I got repaired. And I volunteered to go back again then to the unit. And I went back just a few days into November. I got wounded on the last Sunday in July. I don't know what date that was in that year. The last Sunday of July it was. But on a Sunday morning. Because when I got to hospital, the nurse said to me, you're a clean soldier. I shot at a bat in the pond this morning, dear. Yesterday morning before I left. Anyway, I said a few days ago. And in the river, she said, did he? I said, yes, always keep yourself clean or try to, like joking. She said, you're one of the cleanest soldiers we've ever had.
Which hospital was this?
I come back to Hereford County Council Hospital, Marylebone Ward. It's a maternity wing now. Because whenever I go up to Hereford, I always take them a bouquet of flowers. Wonderful people up there. I had a wonderful time up there. All young. You just imagine a man about 22, 23, with all young ex-early nurses about 18, 19 and 20.
Did you make a full recovery from the wounds?
Well, not really. I've had a lot of reaction. I've had a reaction. My shoulder now. This arm is all right. I can put that one around here. But I can only move that one this far without a twinge, you see. And I used to be able to play darts, but it deteriorated since then.
And you wanted to go back to the battalion?
Yeah. After almost, I went back to the battalion, and I caught the battalion up there on my... Just before my birthday, I got stationed at Nijmegen.
It says on this list that you rejoined the battalion, the support company, on the 22nd of November.
That's right, my birthday is the 25th. Yeah. I joined support company then. I went back in as an infantryman.